So I told you about this, but I tried the White Claw Surge, the blue cans that are beefed up. Not with actual beef, but you know, beefed up. I think they have more alcohol in them. It's like a Bud Light Platinum, you know.
Yeah.
These things tasted like an ass, just one whole ass. Don't get them. But White Claw, if you want to sponsor me, you can do that. But what I thought was White Claw, more like Shite Claw, you know what I mean?
Oh God.
Because it's gross and I hate it.
Real quick, I have a theory about that new White Claw. Does it taste more boozy?
Yeah.
Like a lot more?
Yeah, and it tastes like flat.
So
Like,
what in my head I pictured White Claw just didn't taste good though, but you couldn't taste more booze. And in my head I'm like, it's going from 4% to 8%. You know how many fucking college girls are gonna just not notice and then like get alcohol poisoning?
and you know how many college girls named Nate right here in this room are going to get alcohol poisoning because of it?
At least one.
At least one.
Welcome to Bad Bandmates.
We're still here.
Yep. This summer's been busy. We've had some weeks off. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, all the episodes that really matter are Woodstock 99, Limp Bizkit, and
Yep.
that's about, you know,
Glass
and our Mac
Animals.
Miller. But yeah, it's King Gizzard, Mac Miller. Those are the only ones that matter, you know?
Yeah. Lil Peep. That one
Oh,
matters.
yeah. Little
Yeah.
Peep. You know what? Fuck all of them.
They all
All of them
matter.
matter.
All of them
You
matter.
need
Go,
to.
if you haven't listened to them all, go.
Yeah. And check out the music, dude. You know,
Yeah.
we're reviewing albums
Do you
sometimes
guys
and a lot
listen to the
more.
albums that we talk about? You should.
I do.
I
I
know you do.
definitely do.
I hope you
Yeah.
do. We're talking about it.
So, speaking of albums that we're listening to, there's a band called Turnstile. And they are, I hesitate to call them hardcore anymore, but that's kind of the genre that they definitely started out in. They've definitely grown. I don't know if matured, I guess, is a. Don't smell your tattoo, dude. What was that?
I was just, it smelled good.
Josh just smelled his tattoo, and he just got one, so that's the whole thing.
That's
But
true.
this band called Turnstile, they've grown a lot. I hesitate to say mature, but they've definitely done some leaps and bounds away from the typical hardcore that I've shown Josh in the past, or that you know immediately pops into your brain when you think hardcore. And so, with that being said, we're reviewing their new album called Glow On.
Yes, sir.
Beautiful album artwork.
It's pretty.
Yeah, it is pretty. And it gives you this nice sense of like, but also, if you read the lyrics on this album, I feel like there's a lot of like life and death themes to this. I don't know.
I got the feeling early on in this album, like 3 or 4 songs in, that maybe this was a concept record.
It felt like it, a little bit.
Can't tell though. I don't know for sure. If it is, it went over my head. But you know
It,
how I am
yeah.
with lyrics.
Well, there's a lot of like juggling, like basically they say there's a lot going on in your head and you're holding on to something that maybe you shouldn't, or it's all this like weird kind of existential, like what is going on and is are things even worth it? That's just kind of how the feel that I get to this whole album. Maybe I'm completely off, but that's just the feel. And so anyways, without further ado, I mean, Glow On by Turnstile. How'd you break this down? Did you do a statement or track by track or what?
Just track by track.
All right, let's
So,
do it. So the first song is Mystery,
yeah.
which, dang,
Dude,
I love this track.
yeah. The intro, that cute bubbly sound, which they end up carrying throughout like the entire album.
Yes.
There's just a cute, bubbly, airy, kind of 80s-ish synth. Really
Yeah.
cute. I remember this band name. I couldn't remember the album, but I knew that I didn't like it. One of the previous ones that you gave me. I believe that I said it sounded like POD, or Rage Against the Machine, rather. Not POD.
Yes, Rage Against the Machine. Yeah.
And I don't know. This first song, Mystery, is just, it's got like this kind of like Sum 41-ish kind of punk rock sort of vibe. A little heavier, I would say, but I loved it. I love the song. It was just a great song all in all. I think that his vocals were excellent, and musically I thought it was fantastic. It's a very strong start.
It's a great start. It's like this mid-tempoed, like just kind of straight up like rock song.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of like screaming or anything except for like when he really like pushes his vocals on certain parts.
But it's that tasteful kind of like his voice is breaking because it's such a high note. It's not like that growling, gross yelling or like Brand New. they straight up scream at you. It's not like that. He's just pushing really hard, and it's really good.
Yeah, and I love the chorus on this. It's just an absolute like earworm. I just run around the house singing the, and it's been so long, now the mystery gone.
Yeah, that bit reminds me a lot of, this is a weird reference, but a lot of Swimmers. Just like the melody sounds like something that I've heard on a Swimmers album. I don't know why.
Sure. Yeah, it's just a nice way to start off the album. Like you said, it introduces this more electronic element, which again is not very typical in this style of the box that you'd put them in of like hardcore. But again, this album transcends that a little bit, I would say. They definitely have those roots of hardcore in certain tracks. Definitely. We'll get to those, though. So that's Mystery. Unless you had anything else to say, we can move on.
Let's move on.
To Blackout, which, dang, dude. This freaking song, dude. Woo! I love it because the album starts off with this mid-tempo jam, and it comes in with, okay, this is the turnstile that maybe most people would be used to. Some nice production touches throughout that I think you wouldn't necessarily find in like a standard hardcore track. Again, it's that electronic elements where you can hear it a little bit where they're like using like keyed in drum bits, like like a fake sort of tom sound, or like even the hi-hat, like in the beginning, it's almost like too clicky to be like raw, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and there's actually a drum machine. It sounds like a tom hit on the verse, or like in between the intro and the verse. There's definitely drum machines on this track, which I thought was a really cool added touch. And to your point of it sounding different than normal hardcore, I think it goes all the way down to the mixing. This mixing is fucking top notch. Not that hardcore mixing is bad. It's mixed for what it's supposed to sound like. But this is really good, like super high production on this.
Yes, and you get kind of the first of many, not like overwhelmingly many, but I would say the first of many sort of like almost like Latin grooves on this song.
Yep.
They use like, it's after I believe the first chorus, they have this just drum and bass breakdown, and he's hitting cowbells. You know, and it's just this like cool little like do 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 do, and it's so good.
They during that, what the fuck are they called, cowbell part, there's a fade in on some vocals where he's just going like getting up to a yell, but they do this really cool just reverb as fuck fade in over the top, or you know, coming from behind and then eventually going over the top of the cowbell part, and it's just fucking super cool. What a way to go into a verse.
And then pretty much after that, they kind of, you know, they do the run through the chorus again. I think it's like a verse, chorus, and then it kind of crashes out a little bit, and we get into like this ending breakdown sort of like halftime groove that they go into, which is just so good. It does have a very typical hardcore feel. You know, a lot of times you'll do that, like you'll crash out and then you'll totally switch up the beat, you'll bring in this new riff, you'll introduce something new, and it goes hard as heck. And then they just end off with like this sort of
like hand drums.
Yeah. Which they've been performing live, which God bless all these musicians and stuff, because that's how they eat. But like, man, I don't know if this shit's going to last long. But I watched their set, and they actually had the, I think they're called Roto Toms. They're really tight, like three rack like toms. And the singer just hops on the Roto Toms at the end, and he's just going crazy. He's actually a drummer as well. The singer is, I believe, if anyone's interested, I think he drummed for Trapped Under Ice, which is a hardcore band. At least he's done sets with them. So anyways, that's an aside. Oh, and one more thing. Speaking about the live show, I got to tell you about another thing that happened. Because I think this is a funny anecdote. Apparently, well, maybe not funny, but apparently during one of their more recent live shows, let me just read you this headline here. Someone pooped in the pit at Turnstile's Santa Cruz show, and it ended up on stage.
Oh, dude. Gross!
Who's pooping in the pit, dude?
How is it? Would they pull their pants down?
I don't know.
Sick.
But who's pooping in the pit, dude? You know?
Don't poop in the pit. If you're listening out there and you're going to shows right now, first of all, maybe don't for a little bit. Also, don't poop in the pit.
We don't need another G.G. Allin motherfucker going and shitting on stages. You know what I mean?
No. Once was more than enough.
Yeah. We already have a pandemic to worry about. Now people got to worry about poop being thrown around. Yeah, come on, guys.
Yeah, gross. So, don't throw your poop.
But Blackout, to get it back to it, great track, brings up the energy. Love it. So, anything else on that?
No, sir. Let's move on to Don't Play. That's a little more what I expected on this one.
Okay.
A little more in the hardcore realm.
Yeah, it's very fast, high energy right away. They did like this vocal pitch at the beginning, which it like kind of ramps up the energy. And then they kind of totally switch up the beat, carry it, and it kind of breaks it down into like more of a halftime sort of feel and groove. I like the song. I mean, I like most. I mean, spoiler alert, I like most of the songs on this album.
Yeah, I actually like this song a lot, too.
There's just so much groove and feel. And I think in this track, kind of in the chorus-y part, they have these nice little light piano-like keys in the background, kind of helping carry the melody and stuff like that.
Yeah, they did a lot of... I don't remember this in the last album that we listened to, but they have a lot of extra additives that make even a song like this, which is more in the hardcore realm, really good for me, whether it's like vocal delays, like slapbacks, or at about a minute in the verse, they add this extra like really thick, loud clapping on some of the downbeats. Yeah. And those types of things are just fucking, not only are they incredibly necessary for any music, but for me, especially for hardcore, because I think that hardcore music can get incredibly mundane very quickly. Mm-hmm. And I think this song was awesome.
Yeah, I think this is about the point in the track list where I think I texted you and I was like, all right, I think we need to do this album, because I think that you're going to find some stuff in here that you normally wouldn't find in hardcore that I think you're going to like it, you know?
I have only one complaint. I mean, there are bits that I don't like. There are songs that I don't like as much as others. But I have one complaint about the entire album that I'm just going to air out now, because it started for me on this one. I love the production on this album. I think it's great. But for my personal taste, and I love effects like a shit ton. I mean, Glass Animals is 99% effects. I think that their vocal effects got a little fucking stupid throughout the album. There's so much reverb. There's so many echoes. And even at points where it doesn't, like, you don't have to have it on every part.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can tug it back a little bit. But it really started to get to me how much reverb and how much vocal effects there are. It was just, the vocals were so spacey at times, and everything else was so tight. And no reverb on the snare drum, no verb or anything on the guitars is what it felt like. Because the vocals were so big and wide and airy and spacey, and it just got it got to me a little bit throughout the album. But other than that, you're right. I don't think there's a song on this album that I couldn't pull something out of.
Right. That's good. I mean, beyond that though, I don't have much to say on Don't Play. It's just kind of good, and they have these little nice added effects here, you know, but they're just mixing in all these different elements from maybe even different genres here and there. Great production. So unless you have some more to say on Don't Play.
No, sir.
We move on to Underwater Boy. What do you think about this track?
I really like this song. I love the like surfer intro with like the whistles in the background. And something that I thought was just a gorgeous touch is this album's very clean and there's no mistakes on it, right? Everything's purposeful. There's no fuck ups. But they have this really gorgeous amp noise. Like, it sounds like an old vintage twin reverb Fender amp with like the hum of the amp still going with the guitar.
Yep.
And they could have cleaned it up and they could have got rid of that, but they left it in there. And I thought that was excellent. And this song, I actually pulled a reference. Have you ever heard of the Bad Sons?
Doesn't sound familiar.
So they have like two songs that I like, but they do this like, it's kind of like a throwback, like 80s sort of surf rock, but they put a little new wave on it. And this song reminded me of that so much. And it made me happy because it sounded familiar to me. But I thought this song was really good, with the exception of the just too many vocal effects. Just a little too much.
Yeah, but like you mentioned, definitely like 80s inspired. You know, this is definitely a more slower tempoed, laid back, sort of breezy track comparatively to what we've heard so far. Other than that, I don't have much to say. It works in the context of the album.
It does.
But we'll get to another track later, which made me a little scared because they released it as a single. And I was like, oh, God, like, what are we doing? And if you've listened to the album, you kind of probably know which track I'm talking about. But we'll get to that eventually. We can move on to Holiday if you're ready.
Last thing on Underwater Boy. One of my favorite songs off the album.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. But I like all of them.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely makes sense, I would say, for you. I'm not putting you in a box or anything, but I mean, yeah, definitely, I get that. For me, it's definitely lower on the track.
Oh, for sure.
But we get into Holiday. So I love this song. I really love it. Here's my thing though. You need to like crank up that fucking bass in the beginning. You don't muddy it up like you did, you know? It's just so, it's muddy, it's muted. I want it to be like just crunchy and loud, you know?
At least have some clarity to it, if nothing else.
Yeah. Because, like, you start off the track with just bass, you know? And you're doing this sick bass line where you're playing, like, chords on a bass, you know? And then you can barely hear it. Like, I feel like it's, like, way back. Like, and I can barely even hear it when I listen to it.
Yeah.
Because then everything else kicks in and it's like, whoa, okay, I didn't know it was going to be this loud. Like, because... Yeah, that's my one like complaint about there's a couple spots on the album where it's like just bass and like nothing else, and like they could have added more like grit, more crunch, more something to make it stand out, you know. And this is no exception. But other than that, great song. I think that someone went to a Turnstile show and released a drum cam for I think the dude's name is Daniel Fang. God dang, man.
Actually, I watched that. YouTube recommended it to me after work today, and I watched that drum cam footage.
Oh,
he's a
man.
Hell of a drummer.
He is a fantastic drummer. I love his drumming, man.
Yeah, he's good. However, this is not my favorite song.
Sure.
Which I'm sure you expected.
Yeah, I, I, I like it. It's just, it's got the Turnstile groove. Turnstile is very groovy in their hardcore. You know, they kind of have these like very like, I'm terrible with like guitar terms and stuff like that, but they always like have these groovy chord changes and melodies to like keep you kind of interested. And it's not something you necessarily hear all the time. So I like this track. I love the yelling. Like, this has a very Turnstile feel to it, you know? And so I appreciate this track a lot. You didn't like it as much, but
Well, I mean, it wasn't bad, but this song is about as hardcore as this album gets. I think. Sure. I mean, pretty close anyway. And it's just not, I don't know. It got a little boring for me, I think. They have some additives, you know, that make parts interesting, but it really is only a couple parts repeated with this weird, which I felt kind of awkward, break, because the bass is, they do a reprise with that bass sound through the song, and it just didn't sound good because the bass didn't sound good. And then it went back into kind of the same, you know, hardcore kind of beat. It's not a bad song. It's just not my style of music.
Yeah. Which kind of makes you upset, because I think the dude's name is like Franz or something like that on bass. He's a great bass player. Like, he's
clearly,
like, you watch,
he's really
him,
good. It's just the sound isn't.
Yeah, and that's kind of why I just wish that there was some, they did something different with the bass. But that's my only complaint on this. We can move on to Humanoid / Shake It Up.
Dude,
you like this?
Yeah, I'll tell you why. This is my kind of fucking song. It's a minute and 10 long, minute and 10 seconds, but it's two songs. It's two songs. And that's the kind of shit that I do. I'm like, oh, I have this cool idea. It's only 30 seconds, but it's okay if I had another 30-second idea that's a completely different genre of music. It'll make for a really interesting song. And that's what they did on this. I fucking think it's so good. I think I wouldn't hate hardcore in super, super small doses. If it's like mixed in with other sound, like if they didn't play what to me sounds like the same thing, like I would enjoy watching this show with this band. I just think it's really cool the way that they did it. But we can explain what the song sounds like a little bit more. The first half is I would compare it to like an old punk song, like an old punk
band. I mean, it's just very fast, very riffy, very it's just in your face and it doesn't let up. And then maybe, I don't know this for sure, but I think that Franz is actually singing on this song, the bass player I mentioned before, rather than the main vocalist.
Okay.
And then they do like a nice shake up and switch up that feels like, I don't know, it feels like both of these songs feel like an old punk song, but like different types of old punk songs, you know? And I can't, it's tough to explain, but like the way that they mesh the two as well is like, just they do this weird like synthesizer-y sort of like almost guitar solo-y thing.
Yep.
And then it just goes into like this like staccato-y sort of like da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah,
you know?
It's almost like when you're watching a like a video that somebody made on iMovie. I don't know if this reference is going to translate. You can put different settings on it where it just like one picture scoots to the left while another one's scooting in from the right.
Right.
Does that make sense? And that's basically what they did with the song, with like a little synth to carry it over. It was fucking wild. It reminded me a lot of King Gizzard. Just the weirdness to it.
Yeah, definitely. I enjoy this track. I mean, it's just dang good. And we can move right along into Endless again. This is kind of another one of those, like, almost it feels like a mix up of a Latin groove, the like kind of beginning, you know, like that sort of, you know, that sound. I think this has the yeah in it, and like I love that. Just you know, sometimes keeping it simple with just yeah yeahs and like hey yos and stuff, like it just adds so much.
This is a familiar sounding song that's probably been done 1,000 times, it seems like, anyway, but it's really good. Again, I mean, this, they don't sound anything like this band, but I still get weird like Sum 41-ish kind of vibes on some of these. I think it's just like the drums a little bit. I think is what it is for me. But yeah, super good song. This is one of the ones that I really, really, really noticed the vocal effects. There's just a little too much. A little too much. But really cool song. And I, as you said, those that's really cool. Super easy.
Yeah.
Super effective, though.
Yes.
Yeah, they have like a weird like George of the Jungle tom break at the end. Love it.
Yeah, definitely. Anything else on Endless?
No, sir.
We go on to Fly Again. Interesting track. I like the little piano intro. Again, it just kind of adds a nice little breakup of the, you know, potential monotony of riffs and heaviness and screaming, singing, yelling. I think this is really where, to me, because I don't really pay attention to this a whole lot, but this was the song I feel like, the last song and this song in particular, where like the vocal production stuff that they did on it was like really stand out, and I like noticed it a lot more. They would add on the reverb and then they would like take it away, and then they would just like leave it really airy and wavy, and then they would take it back. It, like, there was a lot of like experimenting on the vocals, it felt like. Yeah.
But, like
a ton. But again, I don't notice that stuff a lot. So
yeah, they had some pretty cool echoes on his yelling I thought were cool. So that piano intro in the beginning, going back to that, I didn't like it, but only because I've heard it before. Like Brand New is a band where they'd have like a pretty like 50s sounding piano, and then it'd drop into the just as heavy as fuck song. So I knew that it was coming. And that just kind of turned me off, because as soon as I heard the piano, I was like, yeah, this is going to be a heavy song. I already know.
Sure.
So I wasn't a super big fan of that, only because I've heard it before.
Right. Just a little, it's been a little done. Complaint. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought this song was really cool. And this is the first song on the album that I noticed where they actually changed the vocal effects around, and they did pull it back on parts, and then they threw it on, and then they take off the reverb and put an echo on instead. And I thought they did a really excellent job with that, because again, this is a song to me that could end up being pretty boring by the end, but it didn't, because they do so much of that cool shit in between. So another good song.
Yeah. I don't think I have much else to say on this. Yeah. That, I mean, it's again, it's kind of bringing you down into this, it's headed on that trajectory that's kind of happened this whole album, of like the peaks and valleys of like fast tempo, mid tempo, down tempo, you know, and then this is kind of like keeping it down. And then we get into Alien Love Call, which is like, what is this song, you know?
Like, this is another one. This is that band I told you about, Bad Sons. This is like exactly what they do. I fucking love this song, though. I think the guitar work on it is so pretty sounding. It's just warm and verby and just gorgeous.
Yeah, it gets almost like a little psychedelic sort of, and a little bit like, whoa, dude, like sort of like, you know, I don't think there's really nothing much more than just kind of a guitar and vocals.
Yeah, bass is just playing root notes on it, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's very spacey and airy, you know, and I mean, they've done weird stuff in the past, you know, with just like a small song and stuff like that, where it's like, what is this, you know, why, you know, sort of thing. They released this song as a single, and I was like, what are you guys doing? Like, I was like, as an artist, you do what you need to do, you know, don't worry about it. Just like, I'm one person, you know, but releasing this as a single was just like a weird thing for me, because I was just like, what's going on? And it was like a music video too, and it was like a music video of like mashups from like their shows and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So like there's people like stage diving and like flailing their limbs and, you know, all that stuff, but like the backdrop is just this sound of like weird psychedelic dreamy sort of music. So I don't know, it's interesting.
If I would have heard this single before the album, I probably would have been super excited. However, at about 2 minutes, they have a spoken word bit. Just don't do that. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Let's avoid spoken word.
Yeah, that was very much like a 2008 to 2012. People were allowed to do that.
But... yeah, I never, I didn't like it then. I don't really like it now. Other than that, I like this song a lot, and they did a callback to that spacey, synthy stuff in the beginning at the end, which I thought was really
yep.
cute.
But just kind of a weird weird choice for a single, I feel like.
Yeah, definitely.
Regardless, I think it works in the context of the album. So I'm not too hung up about it. I do end up skipping it for the most part. Sure. If my you know, 2003 iPod isn't near me to hit the button, like, I won't. But, like... you know, if it's within reach, I will. Then we get into Wild World. I love the opening of this track. I mean, I know you.
No, what do you gotta say? Hear me out. So the intro is, it has some like really heavy downbeat hits, like, and then there's this clicking going. It's fucking weird. And I listened to this album four times, by the way.
Yeah.
The first time I listened to it, I wrote, nope. The second time I wrote, I guess it kind of makes sense. The third time I wrote, is that kind of good? The fourth time I wrote, yeah, I fucking really like that intro.
Yeah. It's weird. So good.
It is really good.
Yeah.
It's like some weird ass fucking jungle clicks. That's shit that like Glass Animals would do, I feel like.
Yeah, it's very unique, you know. I think I saw someone like... I don't know. I'm like a YouTube comment, be like, we're in Donkey Kong country or something. Like, I was like, hey, man, props to you for thinking about that. But like, yeah, it just has this again. It has that Latin sort of groovy sort of feel. Yeah, a little bit like jungle vibes, like, you know, and yeah, I dig this track a lot. That's just the intro, by the way. I mean, it's just, you know, there's a lot more to this track, but
yeah, it gets heavy.
Yes, definitely. Especially when it kicks in at like the whatever it is, like after their intro, and it just like comes in with the like down. Like, I mean, that's just beautiful. That's just like straight up like punk and hardcore vibes, and I'm all over that shit. So
yeah, that guitar tone that they have on this song. Woo!
Yeah, it's good.
Killer. It's killer.
Then it kind of ends on like this crash out, like almost like a live feel, like this sort of like, you know, the drummer's going crazy and wild. I liked that as an ending. You know, a lot of the time you can think that that's like, well, they couldn't come up with anything better. But like, it just made it feel more like a live setting. You know, it just made it feel organic, you know, sort of. Mm-hmm. So... other than that, I mean, this song is just great, and I don't have much more to say. So
my only other thing is at like 2 minutes and 10 seconds, they have a guitar that kind of winds down, mm-hmm. and then it winds back up really slowly. Just a really cool, really cool production touch on a song that was, like you said, kind of built to sound live. I thought that was pretty neat. Otherwise, I'm good on that one. You want to go on to Dance Off?
Dance Off, dude.
What a great... title to a song that I would just probably sit and dance to. just a vibe. The song is just vibey.
Definitely. It very much has that same groove I've been talking about this whole time. You know, they just find a way to just like make these riffs sound so dang good and make you want to groove and move. So
yeah,
I mean, honestly, that's about it.
Yeah. The only other thing I would say is I thought the chorus was like a super generic chorus, but again, they do little things. Like, they added in a really fast, like, aggressive shaker in it to keep it flowing, and it's that little shit that makes this album really good.
Right. And more cowbell on this song.
Yes,
again,
yes, plenty more cowbell on the verses. And claps. They got the cowbell and the claps.
Yes, definitely.
Good stuff. The song's good stuff.
By the way, there is a lot of like that crunch and grit that I want on the bass in this song.
Yep.
That I think should have been carried over to the the other stuff that I talked about where the bass is just muddied and stuff like that. If they would have had that bass sound, I feel like it would have added so much more on the other tracks that I was talking about. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy, but you know.
Oh, well, you know, you like what you like.
I like what I like, and that's what I like. So,
New Heart Design. The verses are yacht rock, and I fucking love it.
Yeah, it's very it's definitely like 1980s, and I kind of felt like I was listening to like The Police or something like that. Very much Police sounding guitar.
Something about it made me think, oh, Hall & Oates, cool.
Yeah, sure.
I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
It's just like that high on the neck sort of like, like, and it just. And it has that like 80s echo to it that I don't really know how to describe it. But like, if you know the sounds of the 80s, like you'll just, and if you understand like how The Police had their sound, like their guitar sound, like you get the vibe for this track. And it, again, it kind of switches it up again, you know? So
yeah, the verse on this song, the verses rather, are far and away my absolute favorite part of this album. I fucking love it. I love it so much. And then they blended it with a chorus that's a little more on the, I guess, the new age heavier side. But they did it really tastefully. Like, those are two, that's a verse and a chorus I wouldn't expect to go together. They did a super good job blending them. It was really, this is a gorgeous song. And absolutely. I love they have this lo-fi bit at the end of it at like, it's at like 2 minutes when the song's done. Everything just gets turned down into like this lo-fi state, which if you guys don't know what lo-fi is, it's where it's like really muffled and warm sounding, I guess. I don't have like a reference or anything, but you'd know it if you heard it. And it sounds like elevator music.
Right.
Is really what it is. But it was really cool. The song was very good.
Absolutely. And then we kick it all the way up to TLC. Turnstile Love Connection, which is maybe one of my favorite tracks off the album. I mean, it's like a minute 30 of just like blazing fast, like nonstop gang vocals and yelling, you know, just This is what daddy needs. This is what daddy likes. You know,
what I mean? the other daddy on the show wasn't as big of a fan of it as expected. Yeah.
I need that TLC. I need that TLC. Dude, it's so good. It's just so, I mean, if nothing else, I mean that, you know, it, how can you not yell along with it? You know?
Sure. They do.
You didn't, but
I didn't, but I could. At like 50 seconds, they have a like a digital. I don't know if it's digital, if it's roto toms again, but they have this fill that kind of reminds me of like that. It's that Phil Collins song. Boop 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 boop.
Definitely, but
it's really good though. I think it's really cool, and I want to know if they're live or digital because the sound that they have on it is fucking rad.
I guarantee it was like a pad of some sort or like a sample of some sort. You know,
sure.
He now has a like. I think you've actually have or used one of these like those like. 9 or 6 pad like little drum things that you can hit and
the drummer has a sampler back with him. I noticed in the drum cam that he does some effects on. So you're probably right on that.
I love this track. It's fast, it's furious.
Until the
fast
end.
And furious. Vin Diesel. So then we move on to No Surprise.
Oh, I thought there was gonna be more about Vin Diesel.
No, that's about it.
Don't even get me started on that hunk.
Whoa!
So No Surprise.
Yeah, what do you think about this?
It was a surprising track on the album, I guess. And like super pointless. Really good. It was cute. Like a cute, what is it, like 45 seconds?
Yeah.
Something like that. Just this spacey, patty, super reverby, echoey voice. Don't know what he's saying. Don't know what the purpose of it is. But it's cool.
Yeah, again, I feel like this is another one of those tracks where I don't know why. It just felt like there was like this really like tackling continuing living or like moving on sort
definitely.
Of thing.
Definitely. He talks about
and
I don't know the exact words, but I know he says die in it. And it's right. This really spacey, happy song, but you can tell that it's not.
And then the song kind of cuts off and at the end, and it's almost like the next word that he'd be implying is probably something to do with, like, maybe death or, like, afterlife or moving on or living, you know? Like, yeah. It's something, you know what I mean? It's something... But I don't know. There's definitely a connection between songs and the themes and stuff like that. But
yeah.
Maybe someday it'll all click, you know, for me. Click, click, boom.
Click, click, boom.
So we move on to the last track.
Yeah.
Lonely Desires.
With a Z in Desires.
Right. What do you think about this track?
It was a good song if it was, like, track 9.
Sure.
I don't think that it was the greatest ending. They did do something cool in it, though. At about a minute 35, it actually fades out, which you know I fucking hate if you're listening to this. But it fades out, and it's very, very distant in the background. You can kind of still hear it. And they have that synth part from the beginning come in. And then after... like maybe 20 seconds or so, that synth part starts to fade out, and then they actually turn up the volume on the track again. I thought that was cool, and that's pretty much the only thing that made it worthy of being a closer, in my opinion, was this added touch. Without that, the song's really cool. It's really good. It's nice and pretty and kind of poppy, and it moves really well, but it doesn't make any sense as a closer other than the fact that they put weird shit in it.
Yeah, that was kind of the standout bit for me as well. It reminded me of, there's a Jimi Hendrix track that, like, everybody knows, but, like, until you listen to the full song, you'll realize that, like, halfway through, I think it's Purple Haze. I feel like it's Purple Haze, where, like, halfway through, like, for some reason, like, everything just, like, gets, like, turned way down. And, like, something else kind of fades in, and then that ends up fading out, and then they bring up everything back again for some reason. I mean, drugs, you know, but
yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, it reminded me of that immediately. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, there's like, I believe it's Purple Haze, but there's definitely a famous Jimi Hendrix song that does that. And it just reminded me of that, you know, where it was kind of a cool thing where you're like, whoa, like, what are they doing? But like you said, it kind of brought those, like, synth feels, like, from the beginning, you know, back into this, and kind of made the ending connect to the beginning.
Yeah, and that little touch felt like another King Gizzard kind of bit to me. Like, that seems like something King Gizzard would do. The other song, my reference for that was, what's the song that everybody plays at their wedding? Yeah, and death now, da, a little bit louder now, a little bit louder now. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
And it says a little bit quieter now, and it gets really...
Oh, yeah, I shout. Say a little bit louder. Right,
yeah.
You
yeah,
make that, me want to shout.
Yeah, that song.
Right? No, that's not it.
Yeah, no, that's it.
Okay.
You made me want to shout, put my hands up and shout.
Poop my pants and shout. Right.
Poop my pants in a shower. Yeah, that song. That's another one that does a little bit of a fade out thing, but not quite as extensive as this.
Sure.
All in all, I gotta tell you, Nate, I am a pretty big fan of this album. I probably wouldn't listen to it front to back again.
Sure.
I knew that we were doing an episode on it, so again, I did do that 4 times, but if I were to go back, there are some songs, mainly the ones, I don't mean this in a mean way, the ones that you really liked are the ones that I liked the least, and vice versa, so I probably would skip those, but there's a lot to take out of this album, and I think that it really shows a band that's in a genre where I feel like most hardcore bands that are hardcore bands are just hardcore bands, if that makes sense. Whereas these guys are in that genre and they kind of veered off, and they did a fucking good job at it. They didn't just stay on that beaten path that they were, or, you know, that their genre brings to the table, if that makes sense. And I don't mean that as a shot, because the hardcore bands do it good. You just don't get a lot of these different little tastes and little licks and whatnot on it. So I give this album very high praise. I think it's really good.
Excellent. Coincidentally, the vinyl for it just came to my house today. It's on a nice little pink vinyl. Matches the cover. Yeah, this is definitely, it's anytime a Turnstile record comes out, like, it's heavy rotation for me. Like, I can't stop listening to it. Like, it's just, there's something about their records where, you know, usually they're around the, like, 30, 35 minute mark. So they're not crazy long. I think the only true tracks that they could have shaved out of this was, like, the Alien Love Call and the, like, No Surprise. But again, I feel like they probably have a connection with the themes or something that, of course, we're missing. But I think that if you're a hardcore fan, or if you're a sort of a more mellow side of music, you're going to find something, like you said. I think that if you're looking to get into more heavy music, this is a good segue to start dipping your toes in the water. This band in particular, I actually don't think any of their records are too heavy, except for maybe some of their early EPs, but even those had a lot of groove to them. But this album, fantastic, dude. I love it. I think there hasn't been a day where I haven't listened to it in full, except for like today. Just every day that has been out, I've just been at some point listening to it. So, but that's all I got to say. We're slowly but surely dipping Josh's toes in the hardcore water.
I feel like this wasn't, you know, this was maybe a toe in the hardcore. I feel like this wouldn't qualify as a full on hardcore album.
I know. But if you went to a show, like, you'd get beat up in a pit or get pooped on. So,
yeah, I would never go to the show, not poop on people. I wouldn't poop on people either. You're safe with me.
Good. So check out Turnstile Glow On and, you know, Bad Bandmates, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We're still here. Yeah. It's just been a summer. You know what I mean? So
it has been. But it's over. We're going back into hiding. You know, everybody stay safe out there. It's not good.
No. Things are just not good.
Nothing's okay right now.
Right. So, get vaccinated. Protect yourself. Wear a mask. So that's about it for this episode. Turnstile Glow On, Bad Bandmates, peace and love.
Bye.